Welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast, hosted by Dave Roberts. Humanity possesses a unique skill, the ability to pass knowledge from one generation to the next. This podcast embraces that ability, offering learning opportunities through conversations with extraordinary guests. Dave aims to leave a positive mark on individuals around the world. So before you dive into today's episode, please share this podcast with your network, including friends, family, and colleagues. And please consider leaving a rating or review. Your support makes all the difference.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, and today it is my pleasure to have as my guest, Stephanie Carmody. With more than two decades of experience in brand and celebrity public relations across New York, Boston, and Los Angeles, Stephanie Carmody has carved out a career defined by creativity, connection, and heart. From orchestrating red carpet events like the Country Music Association Awards and the Daytime Emmys, to managing multi-million dollar campaigns for global brands such as Procter & Gamble, her professional journey has been anything but ordinary. Stephanie's work in PR placed her alongside some of the most recognized names in entertainment and media: Kevin Hart, John Legend, Martha Stewart, and Tim Gunn among them. Yet her true gift lies in elevating stories with authenticity and grace. Her ability to fuse strategic thinking with emotional intelligence led to award-winning cause marketing programs, national media coverage, and meaningful brand partnerships. Today, Stephanie continues to blend passion with purpose in her latest venture, Second Hack Sessions, a bi-weekly lifestyle podcast dedicated to exploring life's bold reinventions. After navigating a major life transition, Stephanie dives headfirst into her next chapter, unfiltered and wide open. On Second Hack Sessions, she shares a chaotic, hilarious, and sometimes painful path to rediscovering peace, love, and purpose. And Stephanie, with that, welcome to the Teaching Journeys podcast. It's a pleasure having you on the program today.
Oh, thanks so much, Dave. Thank you for having me. It's great to see you again.
It's great to see you, too. I was a guest on your wonderful podcast, Second Hack Sessions, and we had a great conversation. And we were introduced by your Tony Lynch, who is the founder of the Global Grief Network and also has his own podcast, Grief, Let's Talk About It. And I think he did a blast email to a bunch of podcasters in his network. We connected and voila, we are here today.
Here we are. Yeah. So exciting. Yeah. Tony's been great. Actually, his episode is going to be airing tomorrow on my podcast. So look for that as well, everybody.
Definitely. I will make sure to look for it. I'm sure that's going to be a far-reaching and very impactful conversation.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. His story is remarkable, as is yours, of course. And I'm truly honored that you were, you know, obviously willing to share your story with me, too. So thank you for that.
Well, it was easy to share my story on your platform because you really create a welcoming platform. Yeah. You share an authentic interest in everybody's stories. And that's, I think, what makes a great podcast or host is that genuine interest.
Thanks. It is really, I keep saying how much I love doing podcasting because I love learning about people and what makes them tick and how they navigated any trials or tribulations. And in your case, certainly a lot of grief, as have I. And so I think it's just part of it helps me in my healing as well in my journey. So I love sharing everyone else's stories, not just mine.
Well, and I think we get inspired by each other's stories. I mean, we learn something from everybody.
And absolutely.
I think that just makes us more informed, makes us better individuals, and it makes us better servants to what I see as a noble cause, which is the betterment of humanity. So,
yes, absolutely. We really are stewards down here, and we really need to give back any way we can and help others. And I think that's what I'm hopefully aiming to achieve with my podcast as well.
Well, I have no doubt that you will. Given your success with your other ventures, I'm sure that the skills you've developed there are gonna be very serviceable when you're developing the brand for your podcast. So,
yes, absolutely. Thanks.
So my first question, this is a question that I ask all my guests, is tell our audience about the experiences that have shaped your life path and your life passions today.
Sure. Well, as I look back and I've done 3+ years of really going inward and doing healing work, and that's been really part of the crust of my journey as of late. But I've really had a lot of different trials and blessings throughout my life that I feel have shaped me. So beginning from an early age, I experienced bullying from girlfriends, friends, all throughout elementary school, junior high, and high school. That also was infused with boyfriends that weren't too kind to me as well, which was very bullying and toxic. So I went for bullying, boyfriend to boyfriend to boyfriend to marriage, all the same sort of familiar pattern, chaos, you know, like not understanding how I really was meant to be loved and what love was. And so then here I was finding myself in a very toxic marriage. I learned after my marriage, I was married to a narcissist. And so all of that really has shaped me in good and bad ways. Like I feel like all the bad things and the good things shaped me and made me who I am today. And if it weren't for that, I wouldn't be here speaking with you. I wouldn't have my podcast. And so I'm really blessed for the good and the bad, the trials and the tribulations, because they strengthened me. They sharpened me, you know, like through all the suffering and grief that I experienced, I was able to transform that and put it out there through a podcast, through just being able to share my story with others to hopefully just show people that, look, here I am midlife, finding myself somewhere I never, ever once thought would be possible. Single, 50 years old, I just turned 50, navigating this new chapter, the second act season of my life. And I'm doing it certainly trying to be unafraid, but I have moments of doubt and fear like everybody else does. I'm just human. But for me, it's all about persevering and keep going, keep getting up each day, putting one foot in front of the other and just not quitting, not giving up, and really carving out a life that I want for myself now, instead of kind of being more in the passenger seat of life, maybe how I was for the majority of my life. Now I'm really in the driver's seat and I'm taking that steering wheel and I am navigating my second act. And that has been so amazing. It's been another blessing. It's exciting. Every day I wake up and I'm excited for what the day is going to hold. And this doesn't come without a lot of healing that I've done to get over the trauma, the abuse, the grief that I've suffered. And it's not just bullying. I dealt with infertility issues. I dealt with, obviously, the abuse in my marriage. I dealt with friends that are still have like very narcissistic tendencies that I've dealt with even as an adult. And so all of that really has culminated in my purpose and really finding that peace, love, and purpose in my life for myself and being able to pass that on to my listeners and viewers. What has been my driving force? And of course, God has been at the center of all of it. Most recently, the past 3.5 years, and I was certainly got further away from God during my marriage. It is what it is, but it doesn't matter because God never leaves. Draw near to God, He will draw near to you. And so I'm very thankful that I was able to, through all of this and through my healing, reconnect to my faith. And that has been such a grounding force for me and certainly, been helpful in my journey.
Stephanie, that is quite a nutshell of a story. A lot of things to unpack with that. The first thing, beyond the emotionally abusive and narcissistic relationship you found mm-hmm. yourself in, mm-hmm. was infertility loss. And this is something that I believe does not get acknowledged enough. Mm-hmm. It is whenever we cannot proliferate our own legacy, whenever we cannot pass that on or recreate that, mm-hmm. it, a part of ourselves kind mm-hmm. of dies.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to take that moment to acknowledge that because it doesn't get acknowledged enough.
Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. Also coming from a male perspective, it's something I haven't seen many women really discuss. I know many that have experienced that, but no one really talks about it, to your point. And for me, it's certainly grief. And I think that will always stay with me, although each year it gets easier and easier, but it's always with me. Like I can still tear up if I, you know, see someone, their daughter getting married and know I'll never have that, you know, yeah. But God did bless me in other ways. He blessed me with my 2 nieces and they live a mile down the road from me. And it's great being able to, you know, be their aunt. And I'm very much like a second or third mom to them as well. My sisters and I are very close and we all get involved in raising my nieces to at one point or another. And so I've been blessed in other ways. And I do realize that God blocked me from getting pregnant with my ex, because that would have been even worse for me to have to stay connected to such a toxic person with children. And so, yes, even though it's certainly something that I grieve over and it makes me sad every now and then, like I said, God has blessed me in so many other ways. And I've also given birth to so many other things, so many other babies. And that's in my event and wedding planning business. It's in my podcast. It's also in the book that I'm writing. So I'm blessed in other ways. And so instead of getting caught up on, oh, you're not really a woman, I sometimes feel some people attach that stigma with it if you aren't able to have children. And, you know, I just say everything happens for a reason, and I'm blessed in other ways. And so, you know, I'm happy and I have no complaints. So thank you for acknowledging that. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. And, you know, basically family is how we define it. It's not necessarily the family that we're born into. The family that we give birth to, it's those that, where our love, where our compassion kind of brings those individuals into our circle. That's our family. That's our family. And our family is more the community that we create inside and outside of our family of choice, our nuclear family. So the other thing, and I noticed as you were talking about the marital relationship that you had with your emotionally abusive husband, that there are other probably unhealthy relationship choices. And I'm not saying this judgmentally, but there are other unhealthy relationship choices that, you know, I was thinking of old Einstein's, you know, quote that we try to do the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. And
the definition of insanity.
Yeah, the definition of insanity. But it took a few bites at that apple to break the cycle, and you broke that cycle of getting into unhealthy relationships and basically got into a healthy relationship with yourself.
Yeah, that's first and foremost. And that's really something I try to explain on almost every episode, is that you really need to love yourself. I think many people, at least in my generation, Gen X, we weren't really taught that. It wasn't really ever about talking about your feelings or going to therapy. And it's not until I went through therapy and healing, and I healed from so many different modalities, not just like a traditional therapist, but I realized the pattern. And you mentioned that earlier. And I think for me, it was a pattern. So here I was bullied my entire life by mostly girlfriends. And then that kind of, in a way to kind of numb that, I gravitated toward boys, because at least they would give me that attention. So if I didn't have a lot of girlfriends, I always had a boyfriend. However, I would get bad attention even from some really nasty boyfriend, you know, but instead of looking at that as that's wrong, I was just like so appreciative to have that attention, because I was just such an unhealed person. And I didn't come from a traumatic childhood. I didn't have, you know, abuse in my family. It was really just growing up with friends, and I was, you know, a very sensitive child and navigating life, you know, with ADHD, neurodivergent brain. So I was always a little bit different and more sensitive, and, you know, the bullying didn't help. And then, you know, like I said, I gravitated towards what was familiar, chaos, you know, being treated poorly. Any attention was good attention, and it didn't create any peace in my life. It was just familiar. And I know now that you gravitate towards what is familiar. So for me, it was bullying, and I married a bully. So, you know, I was married for 15 and a half years. So it took a long time to finally be strong enough to kind of pull myself out of that and have my own voice and say, enough is enough. And that's really what I hope to share with anyone else who's going through, whether it's a friendship or relationship. You really need to start with knowing yourself, going inward, knowing what your boundaries are, what makes you tick, what's important to you, what you will and will not compromise on. And I think having a strong faith is very important. And I grew up in the church, but I got very distracted by this world, by work, by society, by social media, even. And then even with my ex, my husband, it was all about him. There was no time for me. I had to cater to his needs. And so having this time now, he left in 2021. So I'm really enjoying my second act now and just being by myself. And even though I'm alone, I'm not lonely, because I'm at peace with myself now. And that is such a blessing. And I really wish that for everyone else out there.
Well, like you said, you have to love yourself before you can love anybody else.
Absolutely.
you have to be at peace with yourself before you could be at peace with everything else that's outside of you. But you know, you're absolutely right. I mean, you didn't come from an unhealthy family. You didn't come from an abusive family. But once we leave the nest and we get out into school, our peer groups have a lot to say in terms
of big influence
in terms of shaping who we are. And if you're getting messages that you're less than because of ADHD, that you're less than because you're different, you become a target for bullying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You begin to internalize negative messages about yourself.
Yes.
And that leads into getting into behavior or relationships that match that image of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Because like you said, you don't know any better. This is what, this is what you know.
Right. I also realized in writing my book right now that I really just shrunk myself. I would shrink myself to, I didn't want to be different. I didn't want to be signaled out. I'm left-handed. I didn't want to use the left-handed scissors. Don't give me the left-handed desk either. I didn't want to be different than I already felt I was. Do you know what I mean? And so that was a pattern that was really developed from an early age, and it just continued for the majority of my life, you know? But thank God now I finally figured out, did the work, and I'm a different person to this day, which is, I'm just so happy. And I thank God every day for his blessings, truly.
Yeah, and I think faith in whether it's God, whether it's a deity associated with another religion or just a higher power in general, that is so key to us moving forward through challenging times.
Absolutely.
And as an aside, I didn't know you were left-handed.
I'm left-handed. Yes, I am. So that means I think when you're left-handed, you're more right brain.
Yes.
You think differently. So I've always thought differently. I see things differently. I notice every little thing in any room. I can notice if someone change like a nail polish color. Like I notice everything. It's exhausting. And also I call it my little superpower as well, because there's something wrong with me. I'm just created differently.
Yeah. And I'm left-handed too. So.
Oh, hey, hello, fellow lefty. I love it.
Me too.
We're called southpaws. I've heard it's called southpaw.
Southpaws. And I've also heard the standard joke is that left-handers aren't in their right mind, but you know, I've heard that joke as well. We are right-minded though. So, and
I think naturally.
I think different's great. I think
me too.
Conventional wisdom, I've said this before, doesn't cut it in most situations anymore.
Nope.
It's creativity. It's individuals who are those kind of rule breakers in a good way, where they're creating new traditions. Those are the people that you're gonna grow the most from. Now you've mentioned your book twice.
Okay, sorry.
That's a cue to use my active listening skills to ask you a question that we hadn't talked about previously. So I'm going to ask you, tell me about the book you're working on.
Sure.
What's your target for publication date? What it's about? Is it a memoir? Is it self-help? Give us a sneak peek.
It's definitely a memoir with some self-help infused throughout. It's really about my journey from childhood to now, how I got here. It's, you know, going to be covered all about peace, love, and purpose and what that means in each phase of my life and how I've gotten there. And really, it's all about sharing my story to help others, to show them that I may have gone to hell and back, but I'm still standing and you can too. There's so many people my age, we're finding ourselves midlife. I see it all over TikTok and I really feel people are struggling with, whoa, I just woke up, I'm divorced, or now I'm an empty nester, or you know what, I hate this job, I need something new, what do I do? How am I finding myself here? And I really feel like there's a niche market for me to really capitalize on midlife and second acts, because I certainly struggle with it and I'm navigating it. So I know there's so many more of people like myself that could use just maybe some inspiration and some positivity to show them that A, you're not alone. B, you can get through anything. And this is how I did it. And these are some of the lessons I learned. And I just want to share my journey. So I'm in the process of writing it now. I'm aiming definitely to have it out by the end of this year. I brought on an amazing book editor. She's awesome. And she's been so like just positive and encouraging, because, you know, I'm not a writer. And I was told years ago in one of my PR firms by one of my bosses, oh, you're not really the greatest writer. That limiting belief stuck with me my entire life until about 3 years ago. Like, I just never thought I was a good writer. And I was in public relations and I had to write pitches and press releases. This was well before ChatGPT, mind you. And I know I'm a good writer, but I just didn't believe that because I was told that one time that I wasn't. Isn't it amazing how something like that can just get ingrained in your mind and you just latch onto it? It's a truth when it was not true at all. So that has been really also healing for me and cathartic in a lot of ways. And I'm writing my own book and I love doing it. And who would have ever thought that I, of all people, would be writing? But here I am. And again, it just goes to show we can do anything in this life, no matter what your age, no matter what your demographic, no matter what you're going through. I think it's all about just taking a chance and putting yourself out there because you only live once.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, if that were me, I would say, I would tell you what I thought was good about your writing first, and then let's talk about ways that we can improve.
Exactly. Exactly. It's all about the delivery, right?
Well, it is. But I mean, there's always something that you can take, even from the worst piece of writing that you've ever seen. You could still say, you know, I can still tell a student, you know, the content was great, but we need to clean up how you deliver the content. Because yep. Not only is it about content, it's about style. But it's just, again, it's like you said, it's in terms of the delivery, but it's also how mm-hmm. we frame it. Let's talk about mm-hmm. what you did well before we talk about opportunities for improvement.
Right. Right. Exactly. Right. Positive reinforcement. Let's start there instead of bashing people down and crushing their spirit in a lot of ways, because that happened to me so much throughout my life. And that's just one example. So, but yeah, I'm actively working on my book and I'm excited about it.
Do you have a working title for it yet?
I do. It's entitled Peace, Love, and Purpose.
I like it.
I call it my ode to eat, pray, love. So that's a working title. So we'll see if it sticks. It may evolve into something else, but that has been something that I feel like God has pressed upon my heart in the past 3.5 years of healing, is that I just wanted to find peace in my home initially, peace within myself, peace within my life, peace, you know, having calmness with not the abuse. And then love was really finding love for myself. And then how does that transform into helping others? And then purpose is, throughout my healing, God always had put on my heart, you need to do a podcast. And I wasn't ready, because I'm the person who doesn't even love listening to podcasts. So it's ironic that I have a podcast. Because of my ADHD, I can't just listen to things. Sometimes it's easier for me to watch it. It's like on YouTube. Yeah. Maybe driving a car, but I usually love to listen to music. But that was part of my purpose, was really now sharing my story and helping others and really being an inspiration to show people that your life isn't over. Your second act has just begun. And that's part of what's going to be captured in the book.
Well, the other thing I like about the book is that it sounds like you're taking a very proactive approach, or encouraging your readers to take a proactive approach. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at it, there's always going to be a second act. There's going to be a third act.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, I was talking to my students and my family stress and coping class today. We were talking about developmental tasks that families go through, and they have to negotiate, you know, middle age, they have to negotiate parenthood, they have to negotiate having children. So there's mm-hmm. always, what tools or resources do you need to be able to successfully navigate mm-hmm. those transitions, and particularly the tools that for families under stress experience who need to navigate those transitions.
Right. So exactly.
I think anytime we can be proactive rather than reactive in terms mm-hmm. of times of chaos is mm-hmm. a better approach. And I right. think it sounds like, from the way your book is outlined, that it's going to give individuals an opportunity to be proactive as they transition to multiple chapters of their lives.
It is, exactly. And it's not about being a victim, because I'm not a victim. And I haven't even put in all the stories that I could share with you. It's a laundry list. And it's not about listing all the horrible things that happened to me. It's giving you an insight to what shaped me, the good, the bad, the ugly, and how I'm still finding my purpose through all of that.
Yeah. And the good, the bad, and the ugly shapes us all. It makes us the genuine, authentic human beings that we are. You know, to deny the ugliness that is going to occur in our life is to deny a rich part of our existence, that which we can learn from and we can grow
from. Absolutely. I think I've learned so much from the darkest moments of my life, and I have no regrets. I really don't, because I learned from that and I can apply it to my life. I can help friends, I can help family, and I can help my listeners. And so I just see how God can use all things for good, truly.
Speaking of God, during our discussion, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, you credited God's intervention to help you navigate your marriage and divorce. Could you elaborate a little more on that for our listeners?
Absolutely. It's something that I like would scream at the rooftops if I could, because I think a lot of people do believe in God, obviously, and I hope they do. That's great. But it's interesting, though, when you really can hear from God and see him work in your life. And I have had that happen multiple times throughout my life. But specifically with the end of my marriage, it had gotten really bad in 2021, like very bad. It was as low as I have ever felt in my life in that relationship. And I remember coming back from a trip that we had taken with my parents, and I got on my hands and knees bawling. I said, I can't do this, Lord. I said, I am done. I've tried everything. Now, mind you, this has been years of therapy off and on, you know, like I've done the work. I tried to be the dutiful wife. I tried to not make it, just move, like accept it and just kind of swallow it down, which I couldn't do anymore. And it was coming out in my body. And I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I said, thy will be done. You handle it. Whatever's meant to be, I will handle. Whether you fix this marriage, great. If not, remove it. I said, because I don't think I'm strong enough to leave. And I don't know what to do. With a narcissist, they strip you down of your identity. They isolate you. They make you completely dependent upon them. So you are a shell of a person. He had broken my spirit to the point where I had a suicidal thought one day. I would never act on it. But that's how low and depressed I had gotten. And like I said, I got on my hands and knees. Wouldn't you know, 2 weeks later, literally 2 weeks later, my ex came to me. We had a conversation. He's like, I'm leaving. I don't know how to make you happy. I want a divorce. Bye. Peace out. I was like, okay. I was shocked. Don't get me wrong. But I wasn't fighting for the marriage any longer because I knew this was divinely orchestrated and God heard my prayer. And to this day, I mean, I even did something recently where I was like, God, I don't hear you. Am I doing this right? Is this the path you want for me? Some days I feel like I don't even know what I'm doing with all this. Navigating a podcast is so new and so foreign. And Lord, please, I just need to hear from you. I kid you not, Dave. That night and the entire next day, what did I get? Message upon message on social, in my emails. Random friends were reaching out being, hey, I saw your episode. I want to say it's amazing. You're doing such a great job. Another woman that I interviewed, her subject line of her email said, keep going. And she was so like, I just watched this episode and I want you to know I experienced that too. You're doing a great job. Keep going. Keep it up. And I was like, oh God, thank you. You are so good. So he not only delivered me from evil truly with my marriage, but he also helps up and shows up when I ask him saying, I need help. I need guidance. I need to hear from you. And he speaks to me in different ways. He speaks to me through music. He'll speak to me through social media. He'll speak to me through friends or an email. I even had a random post on my social media page. Some person I don't know said, oh, I love your podcast. You take such great detail and care in selecting your guests. Keep going. And I was like, okay, I got my validation. Thank you, Lord. And that was just so beautiful. So yeah, God has really been so instrumental and he's really drawn me back closer to him now that I'm on my own and I'm not distracted by the world and my ex and things of that nature. And he's really just blessed me. And I'm not going to say every day is easy. I'm sitting here with back pain right now. My shoulder pain's aching. And I just feel like that might be my cross to bear, my health issues. But I'm so happy and I'm carefree and I'm optimistic about the future. And I know I'm never alone. Even though if I'm physically alone without a partner, I'm not lonely and I'm not alone. And that's such a vast difference from my marriage when here I was married and I was the loneliest person you had ever met. It was just so depressing. And so now I'm just so happy. And I just want to share that joy in my book, through my podcast. Yeah, God has been truly instrumental. And I think we all need faith in our life. Whatever you want to believe, whatever, you know, you believe in, I don't judge. I just will say you need some faith in your life because that's the only thing that I found that really helps me.
Yeah, and I think that's the other key is that, and one of the things that I tell my students is that what you believe is what you believe. If you're faith-based, if you're interfaith, if you simply believe in a higher power, it doesn't matter as long as that is something that gives you comfort, that gives you joy. Now you talk about praying to God and God sending you signs. Well, I could not be faith-based, but still believe in signs from the universe and look at that God works through the universe, he works through nature to just give me a sign when I need it. There may appear to be some differences, but there's a lot of similarity in terms of how we see things. One person may see it as coming totally from God. Somebody might see it as coming from the divine source. Somebody can see him, it's coming from an undefined higher power. But you know what? It's all about the magic that occurs in the universe and something that we need to behold and be in awe of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I fear God too, you know, like truly fear him and know that he loves me though, like a daughter, and that I'm always protected and guided and I will always be held and I'm safe in that. Even when I have my nervousness or my anxiety creeps up on me, because I'm human. We live in this world, which is a very dark world, and we are human. And for me, about daily connecting with him to, you know, get me through my days.
Yeah. And we have to have faith in something greater than ourselves if we're going to thrive. And we have to have something greater in ourselves so that we can become aware of who we are and be aware of how we connect to the world around us.
Yep.
And ultimately, what our ultimate purpose is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yep. Yep. I agree.
All right. So let's talk about your wonderful podcast.
Please, let's do it.
Yeah. It sounds like you're really just not too excited about talking about your podcast, are you?
Not at all.
I didn't think so. I couldn't tell. But Second Act Sessions, tell us about what inspired it.
Sure.
What do you want your listeners to take away from each episode? And what's your long-term vision is for the podcast?
So I would say the Second Act Sessions really was born from all the healing that I did. In a way, God really kept telling me I needed to do a podcast. And I just knew I would do it eventually. But I knew also I wasn't ready. I wasn't healed enough yet. I had to really process and heal from the abuse of the narcissist. And I even asked a lot of questions in working with Dr. Rob Kelly, who is an amazing therapist and neuroscientist. And he was saying, no, a lot of this, Stephanie, is not only from your childhood, but from the abuse you experienced. You have 15 and a half years of abuse that you need to unpack, and doesn't go away overnight. And so I also had to build myself back up again, my self-confidence, my self-worth, my self-love. And so I just knew I wasn't ready. And God wasn't rushing me. And I really do feel God was telling me to be still, just heal. I didn't do much in 3 years. I didn't leave my house much. I traveled every now and then. I enjoyed my life, but I wasn't doing anything other than going inward those 3 years and really doing the work. I tell people 2024 was my crying year. I cried the entire year. I was releasing and healing and grieving so many things. Anger I still had, resentment. And so I look back, and 3 years ago, I didn't recognize that person. A year ago, I don't recognize that person. So every year I see how much further I've come and the healing that had enveloped me and how I'm so much stronger. So through the healing, I knew I wanted to give back. That was always part of my journey to, like, there's no way I could have gone through all this if it didn't have a purpose, right? Like, why would God put me through all this if it wasn't for a greater cause? And I know now it is to share my testimony, my story, to show people how good God has been in my life. Now, even though it was horrible in moments, from the bullying to the abuse to even just horrible friends, I persevered. I'm still standing. And so my podcast was born in that healing period. And I'd always played around with names. And I was like, well, Second Act Sessions really sounds true to what I'm doing right now. I'm in my second, third chapter of my life, and I'm navigating it. And I wanted to take viewers, listeners along for the ride. And like I said, share my experiences, share my journey, bring on guests that are doing amazing things in their second act and their healing and how they're navigating that, and sharing things that a lot of people in midlife are dealing with, from health issues to now I have to date now at 50. Are you kidding me? I thought I'd be here. So that's sort of part of why I felt I needed to have a podcast to give back. And that's been part of my focal point. And like I said, I just launched this past April. So it's been 4 months. It's a lot of work, but I'm loving it. I'm bi-weekly right now, and I'm aiming to go weekly probably in a month or two. So I'm excited for that. I just have a lot on the horizon that I'm excited about. The book, I'm hoping to do some speaking opportunities. I'd love to do some commentary on broadcast media. Maybe down the road have my own talk show, because I'd love to share stories of varying cultures of women, different ages, even different generations, and how we're navigating our second acts at whatever age. So for me, that's really the goal is how can I do the Lord's work and give back? And that's what I'm doing in my second act now through my podcast and beyond.
And the book will be an extension of that as well, to the extension of you giving back, sharing your experiences, with the intent of helping others. And
you
said earlier, it becomes healing for us when we do that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's important.
Yeah, it is. Well,
I know I talk a lot.
No.
I don't stop. I can't give you a word in edgewise, can I?
Not at all. I mean, I think it's good to see me speechless once in a while, you know, so. But I do have a couple of other questions for you before we wrap up. And the first one is, if you could leave our listeners with one thing today, and you've left our listeners with quite a bit to take away.
A lot of nuggets, right?
Yeah, a lot of nuggets. But if you could leave our listeners with the ultimate nugget today, what would that be?
Yeah. I would like them to know that grief doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean you're broken. It really means that you're still healing. Then you have a future and a purpose, and that's okay. I would say don't rush into the process of it all. Like, be patient with yourself. Be kind with yourself. Take the time to get to know yourself and really trust that God can really turn your pain into purpose. He can use anything, the good, the bad, the ugly. He can use it all for good. You're not alone. And I always say, if I can get through this, anyone can. Because I was a very insecure child. Not that I couldn't talk to people, but I just was a very insecure child. And I persevered. And it's made me stronger for it. And I feel like sometimes what you think is your weakness or is your fault is actually your greatest power and can really be your superpower, because God put that in you, or the universe, or whoever you connect with. I really think through all that, no matter what, your second act is waiting. It's really within a grasp, a reach. Just take a chance. If you can't see it yet, just, it's there for you. It's there for the taking, and don't give up ever.
Well, and you make a great point too. Grief comes in many forms. It isn't just loss due to death.
No.
You take a look at the grief issues that you probably experienced being in a emotionally abusive relationship, being in abusive relationships before that, being bullied. It's kind of like it's a loss of who we are, want to be, who we were meant to be, dreams for the future, questions about our own self-worth. Those are all associated losses, which especially during our formative years can be stressful.
It really can. It shapes you in a way, not for the good sometimes, because it's taking away that innocence in yourself that you really are a child of God and you're meant to have this amazing calling and purpose, but it gets sidetracked along the way. It can get ruined. You're still there. You just have to climb out from it and do the work to kind of get to the other side and really tap into who you are and who you're meant to become.
Yeah. And we also, I think, learned in the process that the family that we were, for many, the family that we were born into isn't necessarily the family we're going to end up with.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your friends can be your family. You always have a heavenly father. You're not alone. And sometimes the family that you were birthed into also can be the reason that catapults you to something even better. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't look at it as just, oh, I got, you know, horrible luck, or I got horrible parents. Well, use it for good. Change that. Help someone else then. You know what it's like to go through that. Everything you go through, you can use to help others if you want to.
Yeah, and life isn't always a bowl of cherries. There's always going to be a bowl of pits at the bottom of the bowl.
Absolutely.
And it's basically how we take those pits that are at the bottom of the bowl and use them for the greater good, and use them to for self-improvement. Yeah. And again, the betterment of humanity. You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're looking at more globally. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, to give you an opportunity to promote yourself a little bit, if individuals want to find out about your podcast, contact you, find out anything else that's going on, any other services that you may have to offer, what's the best way for them to do that, Stephanie?
Sure. So I first say visit my website, secondactsessions.com. Everything is there. All my social links, all my podcasts are there as well, YouTube and all the other platforms. I'm on every platform that you can podcast, including YouTube. All of my social handles are Second Act Sessions, so I'm very easy to find. You can even go under Stephanie F. Carmody on Instagram, and that's where I'm housing everything right now. I kind of merged things over to have one page instead of a separate podcast page. But I'd say first go to my website, Second Act Sessions. You'll find everything there. And stay tuned for my book, which hopefully, like I said, will be coming out, you know, at the tail end of this year. And look for my podcast turning into a weekly podcast as well. Going to be airing right now bi-weekly every other Wednesday. I have one coming out tomorrow. And then after that, it'll be weekly, probably every Wednesday. I'll just keep it every Wednesday. So that's where you can find me.
And I know you're on all major podcast platforms. Yes. I know YouTube, Apple, Spotify.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll make sure all of that contact information gets into the episode notes. And when your book comes out, we got to do a second act podcast.
We should. That'd be great. Thank you. That'd be awesome. Yeah, I'm excited for it.
I think we have to do a follow-up, provided I haven't scared you away today.
But Dave, you know I love chatting with you. I could chat with you for hours. I had such a great time when having you on mine. And, you know, I think we'll be talking quite a bit moving forward.
I think we will, too. I'm always into this. It's kind of the humor that kind of, like, pokes fun at myself. So just to keep it light. So
I'm self-deprecating all the time.
Yeah. Me too.
Good. That's why we get along. And we're left-handed. That's why we get along.
Hey, that's why we got to do a follow. We got to do a follow-up podcast.
We will.
Stephanie, thank you so much. As always, it's been a blast spending time with you. I wish you well in the future. Thanks for being just a great guest contributor today.
You're the best. Thanks, Dave, so much. And thank you to all your listeners. And I hope to hear them and see you guys soon.
You got it. And with that, that's a wrap on another episode of the Teaching Journeys podcast. I'm your host, Dave Roberts, wishing you peace.